الله تبارك وتعالى. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سئل عن علم علمه فكتمه ألجم بلجام يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Last week we discussed a few aspects of the great virtues, the importance, the benefits and the rewards of acquiring ilm. Also we explained by ilm is meant dini ilm, that is the only ilm in the world, the ilm of Allah Ta'ala. Dunya's what we call ilm, we call it, but that's not ilm, that is only the experiences of man. And those experiences keep on changing from time to time also. But ilm is from Allah and it has been won. And where it has been, جہاں خدا کی بات تھی اب بھی وہی ہے. It never ever changed. Science دانوں کی بات بدلتی رہتی ہے. The people who talks of scientists according to their new research, it keeps on changing. They find their old research was not correct. The new research is correct. That can never happen with Quran Sharif. It is the words of Allah Ta'ala. So that knowledge of ilm is referred to, which has got the great virtues. And also, as we had mentioned, that, or perhaps we did not mention it, but in the one hadith, where the fazilat comes of the alim over the abid, like that of the virtues of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over the lowest ranking sahabi. And we should think of that a little bit. The anbiya, what level are they? And above the anbiya are those who are rasuls amongst them. They are even more higher. Rasul's rank is more higher than the rank of a nabi. So the Nabi, the Rasul's rank, how high? And then in the Rasul's, Imamul Anbiya, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the Sahaba after that, radiallahu anhum, what is their rank? So, in fact, on one occasion, the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, told Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Jannat, you are Imamul Anbiya. What a great high position, right by Allah Ta'ala, you will be. And we are Sahaba. What a great difference. We won't be able to be with you. And that is a sadness for us in Jannat. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person will be with whom he loves. On that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum said, there was no greater joy for us since we accepted Islam than when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said these words, that we will be what who we love. And it is for this reason that the ulama have said, yak zamana basohbate awliya, a little while in the company of the friends of Allah Ta'ala, behtar as sad sala be riya, is more better than the ibadat of 100 years of ikhlas ibadat. No riya, ikhlas, a little while. The reason for that also is la yashqa bihim jalisuhum, that those who sit in the company of these pious people, that they won't be wretched, yashqa, that which means the maut won't come on kufr, the maut will come on Islam because of the barakat of this. So anyway, so the company of the pious and the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's rank, how high? And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared his rank not with the Sahaba, but with the lowest of the Sahaba. Sahaba are all great, the whole ummah's awliya and abdal and aqtab together cannot be the value of the lowest ranking Sahaba. So there is great difference amongst the way Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all the other. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam position so high, and the lowest ranking Sahaba, what a great difference. And that is the virtue of an alim over an abid. And these are two departments of deen. One is an alim who acquires the knowledge of deen, and his time is used for acquiring knowledge, for spreading the knowledge, teaching it, making bayans, writing kitabs, giving fatwas. He's a qadi, he's making judgment, all that knowledge what he's using, that. So his time is used for that. And this year, the difference between the two, that alim is referred to who only does the basics of ibadat. Faraz, wajib, sunnati, muakkada. No real nafil, namaz, roza, zikr, tilawat, etc. Very, very little, just the basics. His virtue is so high over that abid whose whole time is spent in ibadat. And he has got just the basics of ilm for himself, what he has to know. His wuzu must be correct, what breaks wuzu, his namaz, all the basic masalas. And the alim who acquires knowledge, the details, the full knowledge, and he spreads that knowledge, his virtue over this abid whose whole time is spent in ibadat. And if he hasn't got the basics of knowledge, then he's not compared with. Because his ibadat won't be correct. His namaz is not correct. His wuzu is not correct. But he's got the basics of ilm. And his whole time is in ibadat. And the alim whose whole time is in ilm, and he's got the basics of ibadat, the virtues between the two of that alim is like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the lowest ranking sahaba. So great are the virtues of knowledge. So from there also we learn an alim, he must do his ibadat, especially there must be no deficiency in his faraiz, wajibat, sunnate muakkada, and abstaining from sun. But his time, mostly he should spend in knowledge, acquiring, spreading it, writing kitabs, teaching. His time must be spent in that. His virtues are so great. Then the other hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compared that the alim is like the moon and the abid like the stars. There is that comparison also. So yeah, the ulama have explained that the stars get their light, the shine from the light of the moon. Because of the light of the moon, the stars get their light. And the moon's light is also not its own light. It is the light of the sun that shines on the moon. So the comparison here is that because of the nur of the ulama, the moon, the stars get their light, the abids. Their teaching, they explain the virtues of Surah Yasin, Ayatul Kursi, all the fazilats of all. And people make amal, so light comes in them. They make tahajjud, they make zikr, they make dua, etc. But, and the alim on that side, he's that alim who nafa'a, who benefited from his knowledge. That is the faraiz, wajibat, sunnate muakkada. And he abstains from sun. And he's teaching this knowledge. He's writing kitabs, he's giving bayans, he's giving fatwas, whatever field he is in. That is that alim that is like the moon. And the abid who's making the ibadat all the time is like the stars. And the stars we see, their shine and their glow is different. All this, some stars shine out a lot. Other stars are quite dumb, difficult to see them. But then some stars are shining so much. So everyone according to his ibadat. But all that is with the moon. And the ulama's light is not their own light also. What they got from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from there also we understand that the virtues of this knowledge spoken is that knowledge which is from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not from any university or from any college or any school, etc. No, that knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama who have got that, and they in turn impart it to other people. Guide other people, direct them, give bayans, encourage people, etc. Then they like the shining moon. And then the stars, how many people they benefited? It, like for example, we know, that which is clear in the hadith, and which is more famous, that one hafiz will take 10 people to Jannat. And an alim will take people to Jannat like the number of stars in the sky. Not 10, like the number of stars. How much people the alim made effort on, he taught deen to those people, and he made bayan, encouraged people, wrote kitabs, gave fatwas, people made their ibadat correct, etc., their business correct, everything. Then that alim will take so many, how many people benefit, he will go to Jannat with so many people following. So they are great, great virtues of knowledge. The famous instance also of that one father who had passed away, while his wife was expecting his child. After he passed away, the child was born. And when the child became 4 or 5 years old, the mother sent the child to Maktab, primary madrasa, to the imam of the masjid to start learning Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha. And Ustad told the child, and that father was a very, very disobedient servant of Allah, committing all types of guna, no good deeds in his life. But when the, and he was getting azab in his qabr. But when the Ustad told the child to read, child, parho beta, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the child read after the Ustad, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah immediately lifted the azab from the father. Allah said that on the surface of the ground, his child is reading and saying, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate, and I'm punishing his father under the ground. This cannot happen. So just see, that is just till he started Alif Ba, not even Alif Ba, only Bismillah still. And the virtues of it, that his father's whole azab was taken away. A person, a man who was in so much of guna, no good deeds, his azab. So the virtues, and when a person will reach till Bukhari Sharif, what is the virtues of that? A person becomes a mufti, becomes a qari, a hafiz, and when he starts teaching it, all his ancestors, his parents, whoever had a share in his education, they donated, they encouraged him, they helped him out, whatever they did for him, they what and what won't they get? When he will get so much. So this is the hot, great virtues there are of knowledge. But together with that also, we must remember there is the other side of the coin also. On the one side, every coin has got two sides. So the other side, that must be also right. Or a coin will only work when both sides are right. If your note, your money also, one side is right, but the other side is blank. Or the other side is all other wrong things. Nobody will accept that note. It has to be right on the other side also. So the adab and etiquette of ilm, that must be also observed. That we are acquiring our knowledge in the correct way also, and we are keeping it also in the correct way. And in that, the most important is niyat. That when we are learning also, our niyat must be correct. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that a person who learns knowledge mimma yubtagha bihi wajhullah, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that knowledge by which a person acquires the pleasure of Allah. And that also makes it clear that this knowledge that is being spoken about is the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Allah becomes happy with that knowledge. Not with that knowledge that where you go and learn that man was born from a monkey, na'uzu billah. Allah gets angry on that stupid and totally wrong teachings. And big universities, you do your PhD for that. That Allah doesn't become happy with that. Allah doesn't become happy with that knowledge, where what you call knowledge and you are writing interest transactions. And you are recording interest transaction. You feel that you are to a big, what you call it, chartered accountant. First, a person was, we learned alphabet ABC. Then we heard a person is a very learned person who is a BA. Now no more AB, but BA. Now we see a person is even more learned when he's a CA. Now it was ABC, now it became BA, now CA. And when it will become ZA, then what will be the condition of people? So this, they're all upside down. Allah doesn't become happy with that kind of knowledge. Allah becomes happy with the knowledge of deen. So that a person but who learns that great high knowledge, but he learns it for the purpose of dunya, to get money from people, in order to become a rich man, to extract money from people, etc. How many qaris, before they read qiraat, 10,000 rand we want. How many people for the bayans? They say so much money we want. Then we will give. For fatwas they ask for money. Things of dunya we want. Or name and fame amongst people. That we must become famous. He's a big alim. He's a big qari. His Quran, how he reads. Just like the water flowing in the river. Like that he's reading Quran Sharif. People must talk. People must praise us all the time. So a person who does it for that, then that person, he's making his place in the fire of Jahannam. But that which you had to acquire, that great high stages, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the lowest ranking Sahaba, but just because your niyat is not correct, now you will be in the fire of Jahannam. Where just the same amal you did. You spend 6, 8 years, 10 years to become Hafiz, to become Qari, to become a Maulana, everything. Two students, same. But the one niyat was for the pleasure of Allah. The other one's niyat was for name and fame, to get money out of people, to live it up in this dunya. And just because of the niyat which nobody knows, it is in the heart. Outwardly they studied the same, they came same year to the madrasa, they did the same course, same kitab, same ustad, they did everything. But inside, the one's niyat was Allah's pleasure, the other one's niyat was dunya, name. So what a difference between. So it's very, very important, our niyat must be correct. That is very important, and continuously, every day, make your niyat, refresh your niyat, that Ya Allah, I'm acquiring this knowledge only for Allah's pleasure. And where sometimes you feel my niyat is now faltering, people are praising me. For example, you studied 1 year, 2, 3 years, 4, 5 years, you went home, you made namaz, people, oh, how nice namaz you read. You gave khutbah, you made bayan, people are praising you. Now, it comes, it's natural in a human being, that I must do more better, people must praise me more. At that time, especially, make your niyat correct. Ya Allah, all this is only your kindness. I knew nothing. I hardly know what was a alif from a ba. I didn't know the difference. You, through your mercy, you taught me all this. So it's not my achievement, it's your achievement. And Ya Allah, what I'm still going to learn, I'll finish now, and I'm going into Bukhari. I'm going to Dora Hadith. I'm going to become a mufti now. People will praise me more. Ya Allah, I'm doing this only for your pleasure. So a person must make his niyat all the time. And the refreshment of niyat, correcting one's niyat, is just like, for example, you clean, today all of us took a bath, we wore clean clothes. Now if a person say, now I'm clean, I don't have to now bath anymore, I don't have to change my clothes, how dirty won't he become? Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, on one of his safars, in one village, there was an old lady who became bayat to Maulana. She was far from deen. Maulana taught her how to make wuzu, how to make namaz, and told him, must keep on reading your namazes. After 1 year, Maulana went back to the same village again. So he asked that old lady, you're still making your namazes? She said, yes, I'm making all my 5 times namaz. Your wuzu, that same wuzu what you taught me that time, with that wuzu I'm still making all my namazes. So that what, how your namazes can't be correct with that. One wuzu and whole year you making namaz with that. So one niyat and you carrying on all the time. Your niyat also, it falters. How our clothes get dirty. Our bodies get dirty. And if you don't clean it, then what will you, if you go toilet, you don't make istinja. You went for number two, you never wash yourself. Then even inwardly, of course, your namaz, nothing will be correct. But even outwardly, how dirty and how won't you be? Nobody will like a person who's smelling, who's dirty, that is just with sweat. And if it's with urine smell, like this non-Muslims don't make istinja, the urine drops are there all the time. They don't wash themselves, they just use some tissue paper and the toilet paper. Actually, you don't clean yourself, you polish yourself with that dirt. For example, if you put polish somewhere and use a cloth and you rub it, that you are polishing it. So they polish themselves with that dirt. And then they go into a tub of water to bath. A bath, you go in a bath to bath. And they go in a bath to bath, and all of them use the same water. They just want to save water. It's not a whole tub's water, they let it run out, another one again whole. No, they use this, and everyone's that stool went in that water. And inevitably in a bath, water goes in your nose, goes in your mouth, all that filth and dirt. So, how dirty are they? So if we just make one niyat, and if your niyat is like with dirty water, your niyat is with urine and stool, then if your niyat is dunya, then you can imagine how spiritually how dirty you are. Outwardly you can be shining, you came first in class also. But spiritually, you have got no value in the eyes of Allah. No value in the eyes of the malaika. No malaika will spread out their wings for you. No malaika will make dua for you. No ants will make dua. No creation of Allah, if our niyat is filth like urine and dirt. But if we did get properly clean, but still we get dirty, refresh your niyat. So to refresh our niyat is also extremely important. That is the from the beginning that our niyat must be correct. And then the means of getting, if you have your mother prepared for you, the best of biryani and the best of everything, roast and everything. But then she gives it to you in that plate, what she gives the dog the food to eat. You won't want to eat it. The inside the biryani is wonderful, the roast is wonderful, but the plate is the plate what she gives the dog and the cats to eat food. You don't want to eat that food. And the spoon she uses to give you to dish out, etc., is also that spoon what she gives the dog's food to eat. So if we are having biryani, Quran Sharif, and we are having Hadith Sharif, roast and biryani we are having, but our hands are filthy with guna. We are clicking on the cell phone, all filthy porn sites and all other filthy sites. We are using our hands for masturbation. We are using our mouth to speak lies. We are using our mouth to swear. Our mouth is dirty. Tongue is dirty. Hands are dirty. And we want to eat that biryani. It is like you are having the biryani, but in the plate of the food, where you give the dogs food, etc. So keep it. And if that cutlery is also spotless, clean, nice, and the food inside also biryani and roast, how don't you enjoy it? So if our hands are pure and clean, our eyes, we're not looking at haram and filth and dirt, our eyes are pure and clean, our mouth is pure and clean, by which we are, our ears, no music, no sound, other filthy haram things, commentary, cricket, soccer, no commentary, it is, our ears are clean and we're hearing hadith, then you will get the enjoyment. If a person is deaf, he can't hear properly. Or not deaf, but too much wax in his ear. Ear is filled with wax, he can't hear. So if dirt is in our ear, Quran, we are reading, we won't get the enjoyment. And it won't have effect on our heart. The guna, the wax of guna has blocked our ears. Our eyes are also closed. Like when we wake up in the morning, we rub our eyes, which is sunnah also, so you get properly fresh. But all that, what comes in the eye, gijar, that little like sticky substance which comes, you can't see properly, you have to rub your eyes properly, then you can see. So if our eyes are dirty and filthy with all this filth, then how will we be able to see the beauty of Quran Sharif, the beauty of Hadith? So that is also very important. And that, by me making one bayan, it won't come in me. And by you listening one bayan, it won't come. A person has to make what we call islah, tazkiyah. And every student must be concerned. If you make that, and now you read Quran and Hadith, then you will get the benefit, you will get the enjoyment. And that alim will shine out from all other alims. The friends of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi asked him, we studied the same kitabs, same ustads, how come you shined out so much? The whole world knows you and what great work and what your kitabs you wrote and what your speeches, how they were. Why this didn't happen to us? This is the difference. Those who make the islah, and islah comes by those who, you stay in the company of those who make islah. Then your islah takes place. Then the same, otherwise you'll do your full 6 years course. 8 years with Hibs, Mufti course also, and Qari course also, but you didn't make your islah, you won't be known also by anyone, and not for the sake of, you won't be accepted by Allah also, if all that is dirty. So our niyat must also be correct. All our things, or to acquire this knowledge, must be clean and pure also. And if you have, you are having your meals, and there is some nice fragrance also, and some nice lights also, how you enjoy it. So just like that, when all the things of knowledge, the knowledge is right and the things of knowledge are right, and that is upon us. Otherwise, the mashallah, Quran is being taught by the ustads in the Hifz classes, in the alim classes, the kitabs are being taught, Riyadus Salihin, Targheeb, Jalalain Sharif, Mishkat, Bukhar, all the kitabs, the food is being dished out, it is being given, but what plates are we taking the food? And how our hands and our ears and our eyes, if they are clean and pure, we will benefit accordingly. Then when we have acquired the knowledge, then a true alim whose all these virtues are, he doesn't go and sit in a corner and make ibadat. That's the work of an abid. Alim's work, he engages now. He starts teaching people. He starts with a maktab. Then he goes on to Hifz. Then he opens alim classes. Then he sees to the islah of the people, tazkiyah. Then he writes kitabs. He makes bayans and he spreads this knowledge. So that person then, he's that alim for whom this fazilat is. And if a person acquires this knowledge and he only makes his own ibadat, and he's not worried of the ummah, like in this hadith it comes, man su'ila an ilmin, if somebody asks you about knowledge, somebody asks you some for advice also, that for guidance also, they ask you, wa alimahu, and he knows what is the answer, fakatamahu, but he didn't speak. He said, my ibadat is more important. My shop is more important. Maulana got a shop also. You have to go to shop. I have to go to factory to work. Or I have to make my own ibadat. Alim's work is ilm. That is his work, to acquire, to impart. To acquire, to impart. But he didn't do that. The azab of that. فَأُلْجِمَ بِلِجَامِ مِنَ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كَمَا قَالْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ. He will be given a garland or a bridle of fire on the day of Qiyamah. Like the reins on a horse. To control that horse. Like that reins that will be put for him will be of fire. Because this mouth, you had to use it to teach the people, to make waaz, nasihat. Abid's work is, alim must also do ibadat, but he, alim is known by alim because of knowledge. So his main occupation must be his faraz, wajib, sunnat, muakkada, staying away from guna, that he has to do. And whatever nafil he gets, tawfiq, he does it. One time, one great alim in Bangladesh wanted to become bayat to our Shaykh Rahmatullahi. So he said, Hazrat, I want to become bayat, but you will prescribe for me tahajjud namaz also, all other big wazifas. I can't read tahajjud namaz. If I get up for tahajjud in the morning, my head, it doesn't function. And whole day I have to teach kitabs. And I have to make mutala, and my head is sore. If a person sleep is not complete at how he feels. So Hazrat said, no tahajjud for you. Your tahajjud sawab all is in making mutala and teaching. So that is what the alim's work is. Abid, he doesn't have to use his brains. He must make ibadah. That is his work. And the alim will teach. And also the alim, for example, don't expect him to be reading long wazifas and duas and all that. If he does all that, when is he going to engage with his ilm? If we are, for example, you take any kitab on fazilat of zikr, how lot zikrs are mentioned. And if the alim have to start doing all that zikrs, he won't have time to sleep, he won't have time to eat also. His work is to teach the people, encourage people. And the basics he has to do. And the abid, he must gain the basics of ilm, fiqh, to know the masalas of deen, of wuzu, of namaz. And his work is ibadat. So Allah has divided everything. So the alim's work really is to, many people judge an alim according to the abids, the ordinary people. According to their ibadat, they judge the alim. That this alim doesn't do much ibadat, etc. He's not really a big alim. No, if the alim have to judge the abid according to ilm, then he will look down upon the abid. And the abid have to judge the alim according to ibadat, he will look down. And it will be cause disunity, it will cause friction in the ummah. The abid must look at the alim according to his ilm. The alim must look at the abid according to his ibadat. Everyone different departments, Allah is. And Allah, in a garden you don't have only roses. You have got the daffodils, you have got the ratkirani, you have got the yesterday, today and tomorrow. That makes a beautiful, a garland. If there's only one type of flower, there's not so beautiful. But when all the variety is there, that makes it so beautiful. And Allah made us, if we all look the same, how should we be? Allah made us, we are all basically, but everyone is different. If Allah made it that all our cars were one type cars, how monotonous won't it be? One color, one type of car, how monotonous won't it be? If our houses were all the same, how to even to know which is your house would have been difficult. To give directions, now you say it's a greenhouse, it's got this type of a tree in front of it, this. So Allah has kept, so Allah loves this variety in everything. So this ibadat which Allah, this ilm which Allah has given is a speciality of the ulama. And they must engage in it. But with the correct niyat also. And then with the correct adab, acquire it. And when you have acquired it, don't go and sleep with that knowledge. Now, spread that knowledge. Teach it to other people. Go and open maktabs, open darul ulooms, do the work of tabligh, do the work of khanqa, and make the islah of people, all the work of deen, go and do it. Then there are so great virtues for such an alim. May Allah make us all like that, inshallah. May Allah save us from those alims that could go so high, but they fell down right at the bottom. As Allah explains about in the 9th Supara about that alim in Bani Israel, Allah says we wanted to give him a high place, but he fell down on the ground, lower than the ground. So let us not be like that. May Allah Ta'ala guide us to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana.